Hey everyone, I am Reva and just want to take a moment and thank you for listening to our studio podcast. Although we are here in Greenville, South Carolina, we are grateful for your support to see the message of Jesus go out all over the world. In case you are not aware, we have a YouTube channel, which you can find the link in our podcast bio. We hope you enjoy this week's talk and it encourages you and it helps you to be the human God designed you to be. So with that, let's get right to it.
Happy Mother's Day to everyone. If you haven't called your moms or texted them, make sure you do that today. It's such an honor to be able to celebrate those who bring us into the world and who nurture us. And I'm going to include people who are biological moms, but I also have so many people to thank who have invested in my life and have been mothers and mentors. And so make sure you give a big thanks to everyone in your life who has poured into you. Yeah, we wouldn't be here without moms. So in all different shapes and forms. And thank you for those who mother other people outside of your own biological children, because we're thankful for you. So God is so good. Good morning. Happy Sunday to you.
Come on.
Yeah, this is a good day. Eric's birthday was last week. He's 49. And what he wanted for his birthday from me, he loves gifts, you know? So I'm like, what do you want? He always has lists. It's super easy to get him things. I'm not like that. I'm like, I don't know, give me a plant, you know. He always wants something, but he said, what I really want is for you to go golfing with me. I can do that for you. I went golfing one other time, 9 holes, and it took 2 hours. I was like, this is a long time. But I got a set of left-handed clubs, because I'm left-handed, and never used them again, except for I went to Top Golf, and we bring a couple clubs. And then that's my golfing experience. And a friend, when he was excited about me getting into golfing a long time ago, and we got the clubs, he told my friend, can you go out and go on the driving range? I think it'd be better if you teach her, you know? And like, okay, that's wisdom in that. So my friend and I went out there and, you know, just teach me how to swing. And I'm doing this because he's very excited about me to golf. And ended up, another good friend came out, and he's actually a golf instructor. And so my friend's all, take a look at her swing, you know, help her out. So I'm at the driving range just shooting, and I mean shooting, hitting, what you do. not trap. And I would hit the ball sometimes and sometimes not hit the ball. You know, have you ever done it? You swing a club, and I'm actually usually pretty good ball hand-eye coordination, but sometimes it just didn't move. And so then he would come and go, okay, make sure, and it's all these, like, put your legs like this, your hands like this, keep that arm straight, or I don't know, maybe that's right or wrong, it's something. There was all these specific things. And then he goes, really? And I'm like, why does it work sometimes and then not work sometimes? And he's like, just, you get a good swing down and the ball will just get in the way. Don't worry about hitting the ball. And I'm like, but I want the ball to move. Like, that's just, okay. Well, then I go out with Eric on Monday night. We went out, and for 2 hours, we did half. He's so kind. Only 9 holes. And we had a good time. And once again, like, I have a decent swing. I can make it go in a direction. It just takes a lot of hits to get there. But it works. But I wanted to go so far. So every once in a while, I'd be like, I'm going to hit this so hard because I want to get there and not, like, so many hits. But every single time I went to hit really hard, I would go and hit it, and then it would still be there. I'm like, oh my gosh, what is this? And I'm learning that golf is a game of fundamentals. You just get a good swing, and the ball gets in the way. That man was so right. And so what I did both. I did good hits, and I did misses, because I still want to hit the ball hard. So I'm still learning it. But it's funny, thinking going into today, like, what would I want to talk about on Mother's Day? I'm not going to talk about moms. I actually want to talk about some of the simplicities of following Jesus. You know, sometimes we love the big things in life. We love the things that maybe we want everyone to know about or, like, we dream of. But really, following Jesus is there's so much about actually just locking onto him and saying, here I am, and you're the one I'm going after. And so many things in our life just get in the way. I think sometimes we're asking the wrong questions. And I know, because I talk to a lot of you guys, I pray with a lot of you, and I know the questions that we're asking. God, where are you? God, what is going to happen? We have to navigate. We get to navigate so many things in life. And sometimes I think we're asking the wrong questions. What if we actually just knew more of who he was? Would that actually be enough? And does God, there's another question. Does God lead us in every single thing that we do? I don't know, how spiritual are you? Like, did you ride your bike here or did you drive a car? And did you make that decision or did God make that decision? Did he lead you? Did you brush your teeth today? Did God tell you to? Or did you just do it? So there's some questions to wrestle with. Does God lead us in everything? So we're asking these existential questions. God, where are you? And we especially ask them when we have no clue what we're doing. Where are you, God? What do you have for me? These are big things. But what if instead of spending so much time going, God, I need more clarity, what if I were to go, God, I just actually need to get closer to you and know who you are? See, David in the Psalms, there's a lot of Psalms. That book takes a long time to get through if you want to read one Psalm a day. But he wrote, what is it, 70 something of them? So he wrote a lot of them, but not every single one of them. And it's really his journey in faith, his journey in following God, loving God, walking through disappointment, walking through fear. And it basically lets you to know and reinforces how God just made us dynamic. We have brains, we have hearts, we have emotions, and we are made in his image. He made us this way. So there's nothing to be denied in that, but there's so much gap that can happen when we are saying we follow God, we follow Jesus, because that's what he does. He came to this earth to save us, to be our Lord, and he says, come and follow me. As he was 100% human, 100% God, and he said, I only do what I see my Father doing. And then he says, come follow me. We're like, oh yeah, I'm with you. Wait, you gave me a mind? You gave me heart and emotions? And I have desires? And then what does it look like, that gap, when I have to lay that down and follow you? If it were that easy, we would all be doing it all the time and not be so confused. And I'm not talking about brushing our teeth and whether we drove or rode our bike here. But we're all here, and what are we doing? What does it look like to follow God with our whole heart? So David, I love the Psalms. They're encouraging because he's all over the place. And he always goes back to, but I put my hope in you. But I put my trust in you. Like, Lord, let me get better at doing that. But then I love Psalms 23. He's so brilliant. The big metaphor as God as a shepherd. And David, we know David as a poet. We know David as a shepherd, as a warrior, and ultimately a king. But in Psalms 23, I believe that we get to see a lot more about David because of how he knows God. It's really a lot from personal experience because he knew what it was like to be responsible for sheep. He knew what it was like to care for them and to feed them. See, we learn a lot more about things when we get to experience them. And so how he talked about God, I do believe it came from an intimate place. And I do believe caring for animals can still be very intimate. And I know this because our daughter and son-in-law just got a dog. And we have a little Cavapoo been staying at our house all week long. And we love little Winnie. And it is a very intimate thing to know, to train, even a dog, talking about sheep. I mean, you name the animal. In Psalms 23, he's talking about God as a shepherd. And I want to read that and then just interact with it a little bit this morning. Psalms 23 in the New King James Version says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. These are all really big words. I pray that we could hear them today. More than I know we could all recite this without looking at it. But I pray that we would get the gravity of these words and even what David was meaning as he wrote them, knowing what it was like to care and be responsible for sheep and then knowing his heart for God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me besides the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. For his namesake, yea, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So beautiful. Every single word, every single sentence. Even in verse 1 starts off, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Is that possible? What heavy words that is as followers of Christ, as followers of God, saying, okay, I'll be the sheep and you're the shepherd. I know this relationship. We don't need to do any more defining the relationship. This is me, this is you, but I shall not want. Do you guys have needs and wants in your lives? Yes. I'm like, when we follow him, we don't have want? Is that what that means? And I was reading this commentary. It says, more is implied than is expressed. Not only shall I not want, but I shall be supplied with whatever I need. And if I have not everything I desire, I may conclude it is either not fit for me or not good for me, or I shall have it in due time. I thought that was beautiful. Simple words, but I know these are the things that we navigate, that space between the path that God has for us, who he's created us to be, who he is inside of us, but also our minds, our hearts, and our desires, and that gap in between. Maybe we're asking the wrong question. Does God lead us in everything? Maybe that's not really the question to ask. But maybe it's, do we know him in everything? If he's the shepherd and he's with us and we know his presence, I love just even going back to that. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. In everything that we're navigating, do we know God in that space? In your relational tension and relational brokenness, what does it look like to know God in that space? And even the gaps in their spaces of lack, in our sickness, in spaces where we don't have victory yet, do we know who he is in that space? I believe that he is everything that we need. In John 6, it's after he feeds the 5,000, he multiplies bread. They see miracles, the fish and the bread, they multiply. And then the crowds are following him and they're asking him questions about the miracles and about bread. And he's talking about himself and how he's sent from the Father. And I love it in John 6:35. He says, and Jesus says to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. And it's hard to understand what we have in him, because yes, we do physically need bread, we need water, but he is the one who meets all of our needs. Our souls were sick, and he came and gave us life. We have life and life abundantly, and we still get to navigate still the gaps of, like, in that space, what does it look like to know him as the bread of life? Can we feast on it even in a place of need? This is a very practical, elementary things in following Christ. But that's our heart here at Studio, guys. We want to give God our everything and experience everything that Jesus gave his life for. And so to really dive into, what does it look like for me to be content, for you to be my shepherd? He restores my soul. Can we receive his restoration? I know that he's a comforter, but we get so good at just relying on ourselves. We soothe ourselves. I can just turn on Netflix. I can go shopping. I don't know how do you soothe yourself? And I'm like, I love that we're so smart we can do that. But when's the last time you just let God comfort you? It's easy. We sing it. We just did it in worship. But like, when do you bring your whole self and go, gosh, this is scary? I asked Greg, how are you? You're going to Romania. He goes, it's kind of scary. I'm like, you're right. It is. I'm like, wow, what an awesome opportunity to let God be your comforter right in that space. He's so good, but we don't have to go to him. We could still just use all of our really good jargon as Christians. Bless the Lord. Oh yes, he is. He's provider. Yes. And then you're like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen next? Are they going to like me when I go there? And what's going to happen when I'm gone? I gave up everything to go to Romania. And then when I come, what happens after the year that I committed? I mean, there are like legitimate things that we're all navigating. What does it look like to know God in that space? To show up in that space? Going back to God being a good shepherd, I love John 10:14 says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. I think there's more things about knowing God than we realize, even more than everything we think we need to know. And even in the spaces of unknown, in the spaces of vulnerability, there's a unique relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. Sheep learn to trust a shepherd through recognizing his voice and scent and understanding that he provides safety, food, and care. They learn to follow his lead and come when called, recognizing him as the one who brings food, water, and cleans their pens. Over time, the sheep associate the shepherd with their well-being, making them willing to follow. There's something that's so important about us being able to recognize his voice. We're like, yes, we're disciples of God. Yes, we follow Jesus. We take up the call. Yes, I'm a disciple. But do we know his voice? Because those are really big words for people who do not know his voice. And so I want to encourage us, no matter where we're at and what our experience has been with God, can we cultivate hearing his voice more? I think there's always room to grow, right? I remember when Kennedy was born, our first daughter. She's inside my body. You go to the hospital, and then she comes out of your body. Like, it's just the craziest experience. And I remember laying there, and Eric she just came out, and she's crying, and I'm just taking it all in. Like, this is crazy. I feel like an alien, but I'm not, because God made us this way. And Kennedy's crying, and which is a good sign. You want your baby to cry so that lungs are good, you know? So I'm like, yay. And she's crying, and then I remember Eric going, hey there, little sweetie. And she turns her face towards him and stops crying. And I'm like, oh my gosh, she recognizes him. Like, not, I don't think she can see, but she hears his voice. Because the whole time she's in my stomach and she's wherever I go and I happen to be around him all the time. And it's crazy how much whoever we're around, we become accustomed to their voice and it brings comfort. It brings soothing. And I saw it right there in that experience. It was crazy. So how do we know his voice? That's a big question to ask. If that's who we're following, how do we know his voice? We know his voice because we get to know him when we're around him. When I was growing up, I was the younger. My sister's 2.5 years older than I. And like I've said before, I just have a lot of creative ideas of things I do. And this is when we had a phone attached to our wall. And when you answer the phone, anyone can pick up in any room. But hey, hello. And they go, hi, Rachel. Oh, what are you up to? And I'm like, they never even asked who I was. I'm like, hey, how are you? If you're not going to ask me who I am, I might as well just keep playing along. And so I would keep conversations going for a long time because my sister and I have a very similar voice. We actually say a lot of similar things. We have same like into the tone and inflection in our voice. I'm a little spunkier than her, so I'd have to be like, just play it calmer, you know, say what Rachel would say. Her friends would tell me the craziest things. If I could fool them and pretend to be her very long. But it depended how well they knew her. Because she is different than I. We do have a very similar voice, but I'm going to be a lot wackier than her. And so if I didn't play it right or they knew her, then I could not fool them very long. After a while, they'd be like, wait, is this Candace? Yes, I'll go get her right now. Who did you say she liked? But our voices are very powerful. It's one of the ways that we know each other. And when we're with the Lord, and even in these spaces of worship, what if you just got, as you're giving him your heart, what if you just got quiet and asked him, like, Lord, who are you? What do you want to say today? What are you saying? What if we asked him more questions? And not just ask a question, but listened. I think we do ask a lot of questions, but I feel like it's how I've been convicted before, where I walk down the hallways and I'm like, oh, hi, oh, it's good to see you, how are you? But I realize I'm 2 steps past them after I say this flippant comment. Did I really want to know how they're doing? How are you? No, I didn't even wait to listen. So I realize if I'm going to ask a question, I better stop and listen. And if I don't have time, I should just say, it's good to see you. But when we're with God, do we ask him questions and listen and wait and listen? I feel like there's more for us to grow in this space. So a big part of knowing his voice is knowing him. And then how do we get to know him? I think I have a slide on this. It's getting to know him relationally, but it's also getting in the word in prayer. And prayer is communication with the Lord. It is praying and putting our requests before him, but it's also listening to what he has. What is he saying? Worshiping and beholding him. That's what we just did. We just tell him who he is. We love on him. We lay our hearts. We get attuned, like Eric was saying, to him. We come in alignment with him. His presence. It's in his presence. It's knowing his peace, knowing his love, knowing truth and hope, because it's who he is. And it's also being filled with him, being filled with his spirit. Do you know it says the Holy Spirit guides us in all truth? The Holy Spirit is the helper, is a counselor, is a comforter. We have so much in his spirit. So listening to his spirit that lives inside of us. So all we have to go is, God, what are you saying? What are you doing? What do you have for me today? How do we follow him? We watch and listen. Thank God that he gave us senses. Even in the physical, he gave us eyes and ears. But even in the spirit, we have eyes and we have ears. What are we watching? And when we are navigating challenging things, unknowns, scary things, that's where we get stuck a little bit. Because he gave us these dynamic minds and the heart and emotions, we can go in so many different directions depending on what we're looking at. What we're focusing on, what we're looking at is really huge. So how do we know his voice? We spend time, there's the next slide. How do we follow him? We watch and listen. And we grow in our awareness. And then there's some just checking questions I love to ask God. What are you saying and doing? What are you providing? And especially if I'm like battling fear. I'm not a person who battles fear. Things don't scare me. It's not my first or second response. But please know, I do get scared. And when I'm in that space of like, what is going to happen? I don't even know. Or there's a little anxiety. I'm like, okay, Lord, this is not who you, this is not your voice. This is not what you give. This is not where you live. So I'm going to come before you and say, here's my fear. I know you have something for me. If you're not giving me fear, what do you have? So in that space of what are you providing? It's just a simple question. God, I'm scared, but I believe you have something for me. What do you have for me? And I just love to wait and listen. And usually it's something I can feel in me. I hear something, but more than anything, he guides me with peace. And he'll say, Candace, I don't have fear for you. I am the Prince of Peace, and I am with you, and I will never leave you. I'm like, okay, that's good enough for me today. I will take that. Well, where are you leading and calling me? That's another question, because the other thing is I'm a very independent person. I love to just go after life, and I believe that's how God made me, but I always want to be dependent on him. And so sometimes when you're just like, yeah, the light is green till it turns red, yes, we just go, sometimes you can get caught and be like, whoa, how did I get here? Did I ask God before I made that fork in the road? Sometimes we make really big decisions and we get so used to just going, yes, he is with me. I got this. I'm a child of God, which are all true. But sometimes we need to slow down and go, should I be doing this? Lord, what do you say? Where's your peace, your grace? So I want to encourage us to slow down a little and wait for the Lord or ask him a question. And then we move and adjust with him. That's how we follow him. Meaning, I don't always assume that I'm right. This is huge because, especially those of us who love making lists and love knowing how to get from A to B, God doesn't always lead that way. Logic is wonderful, but the Lord is over everything, and he can do things however he wants. I love the scripture says his ways are higher than ours. I find a lot of challenge in that and a lot of peace in it. Of like, ooh, I better check in with you before I think I know everything. Or I think I know how you want me to get there. And then ultimately we trust him. And that's the thing about the sheep. The sheep actually don't know, but you know who knows? The shepherd. Where are you going to eat? How? I don't know where I'm going to eat, but I know someone who does. Where are you going to sleep? I don't know if it was going to be over here or over there, or is it going to happen today or tomorrow? But I have someone who cares for me, and he's a shepherd, and he's a good shepherd. One thing I love to pull out of or dive into in Psalms 23 is that scripture says, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I'm like, we know he's a shepherd. He's feeding, he's leading, he's restoring. There's such beautiful words in this chapter. But then it says, he even prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That is so crazy to even think about that. So you're saying in any circumstance, even if I'm not at a dinner table, you're going to prepare a table before me. You provide in every place, even in the presence of my enemies. So that lets me know if I'm like, how is this going to happen? Where is God? Well, he said he's with me, and then he's preparing something for me. Usually the problem isn't that he hasn't prepared it. It's just not what I wanted. That's usually the biggest thing. And you know, when he multiplies things, you know what he does first? He always gives thanks. So when we come to that table, first, like, God, let me have eyes to see what you've prepared. And if you think he hasn't prepared anything, you just aren't looking in the right spot, or you haven't been willing to accept it. But like, I wanted that. This is what I'm giving to you. It's an age-old problem. Israelites, same thing. We were in Egypt. Why don't we have what we had in Egypt? Well, I'm providing manna for you from heaven. But, I'm like, yeah, I would never do that. Oh, really? I think we all get to navigate this. No one's immune from this. But it really is because he made us dynamic. We have brains. We have hearts. We have desires. I don't think those are bad. But let us know who he is in the middle of it all so we don't just go around mountains and walk in circles for 40 years. I've heard it can happen. And here's my sister had a dream once. And even when I ask her today, she goes, I don't remember having this dream. I'm like, oh yeah, you told me this dream. And she said, I was in my dream, I was sitting in this room and it was like really exquisite. And there was two doors that a waiter would come in and then go out. And I knew I was having this lavish meal and it was multiple courses. And I was so excited about what was coming. And the first part came and it was just wonderful, like the best food I'd ever had. And it was just a one course. And it was so exciting that I thought, oh my gosh, what is coming next? This is the best food I've ever had. I wonder what is next. And I just kept looking at the door, like, what is next? And then I woke up and she said, I realized that I'm so excited about what God has for me because I know it's good that I couldn't even eat what was put in front of me. I'm like, oh, I find myself in that situation a lot of like full of anticipation, expectation, but can I just enjoy what he's providing right now? I do believe that is a human condition. And I want to encourage us, no matter where you're at, that we wouldn't get stuck in discontentment or stuck that it isn't the time yet. But I know that he's provided something for all of us right now. But I believe gratitude allows us to see it. And so I want us to cultivate that space of gratitude and acknowledge, so it helps us to acknowledge, but also not acknowledge like, oh, good, he put a salad in front of me, which I love salad, by the way. Look, you're going to say he put brisket in front of you. He put brisket in front of you. Can I be thankful for that? Can I be thankful? And then can I actually start receiving it? Because you could acknowledge it, but not receive it. So help us, Lord, to do all of that. May we be fast to see and recognize his provision, to be able to give thanks for his provision, and even if it's not what we were expecting or wanting, that we could give thanks that he's a great shepherd, that he's with us, that he guides us, and he feeds us. In wrapping up today, I want to pray for a few different groups of people, and I'm going to pray for all of us, but I'm going to call out a couple different groups. If you want prayer for any of these, I believe that the Lord wants to meet us right in this space, that there's something that's going to change inside of us because he's not changing today, but there's stuff inside of us that needs to grow and to change. It's part of us adjusting and following him. He's not following us, and we don't know everything because we're the sheep and he's the shepherd. It's the most beautiful metaphor, and he's a good shepherd. But I want to pray for. If you're in this room and you're in a space where you're wondering where God is. That is not, you're not alone. We're all on a journey, and it's because we are dynamic and we are trying to figure stuff out as we're following. But if you're in a space that you're navigating things, you're like, God, where are you? You moved me to Greenville, South Carolina, and now I'm not sure where you're at. Or you told me to go through this job and I knew that was you, and now where are you? Or yes, I got this house and then I got laid off, and where are you? If you're in that space, I want to pray for you. If you are in a space of needing to know where the table is, I want to pray for you. If you're needing to know where his provision is, you're like, gosh, I'm just praying, Lord, I know that you're with me, but like, where's the provision I actually need to pay my mortgage? Like, where's your provision? I've been looking for a job and I've put in 400 applications. Lord, where's your provision? I am 40-something years old and I've been wanting to be married. And it's been in my heart the whole time. Where is your provision? If that is you, I want to pray for you. And for those who feel like, would say, the valley of the shadow of death, yeah, I know what that's like. I'm in it right now. And I believe that the Lord wants to come near, but also show you what he has for you right now. So I believe this is a day where we, just like Eric said, we become more in alignment with who he is and where he's at, because he is our bread of life. And it's in everything that we would know him in every place. So if you want prayer for any of those things, I believe that you're supposed to get prayer and walk out here different. Like, there actually is a transition and changing that's happening inside of us. So if you want prayer for any of those, I want you to stand up, because we're going to get around you and watch stuff just adjust inside of you and watch you walk out knowing more of who he is with the stuff that you're navigating.
Thanks for listening to today's talk. If you're interested in learning more about Studio here in Greenville, you can go check out our website, studiogreenville.com, and you can give us a follow on Instagram. Our handle is studio.greenville. Have a great week.